Thank you, Mike, for that beautiful song. Thank you for doing the special music for us today for our worship service. I would like you to bow your heads with me, please, so we can have a word of grace. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise your name, Father. Once again, we acknowledge your presence in our lives, in this place. Once again, Father, we pray that your kingdom can you hear me now? Okay, good. I cannot move around now. Is that the plan? I need to get something out of the way right away because I got a lot of people texting me saying, I can't wait for your sermon this Sabbath. Because they look at the bulletin and they look at the title of my sermon and they said, would love to see you getting in trouble, Pastor Gilbert. So let's get this out of the way so you know exactly what I'm talking about or what I'm trying to talk about it. There's an old classic from the 1960s and the 1970s, a story of Tonto and the Lone Ranger. And one of the stories go that Tonto and the Lone Ranger, one day, they got into a big trouble. They were surrounded by natives that were ready to charge and attack them. So the white man, he looked at Tonto that happened to be a native as well, and he said, what in the world are we going to do? And Tonto looked at him and said, what do you mean, we, white man? If you understand what's going on here, Tonto was a native as well. And even though they were fighting for the same cause, they were protecting their villages, they were protecting their people, they had forgotten that they were different. One was a white man and the other one a native still. After reading and after studying one of our greatest theologians of the 21st century, N.T. Wright, he talks about unity in the church, and he said that the problem that we have as Christians is that we have a very monochromatic understanding of unity. when we live in the first century and when we study scriptures, we forget that during the first century, things were not as black and white as we think they were. I would like to read this Bible text for you that many people probably would know this Bible text by heart. And look at what it says in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28. It says, there is neither Jew or Gentile. There's neither slave nor free, nor is there a male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is found in the Holy Scriptures. This is found in the Word of God. And we have to try to think just for a second, why in the world would Paul use these words? That there's no difference between a Gentile. There's no difference with a Jew or a Greek, a free or slave, male or female. The same Paul in the book of Colossians, he even used the word barbarians. And if you were to take time to understand what the barbarians were and the practices that they had and what the Roman Empire and their soldiers would do to them every time their villages, every time their people would be conquered, you would be amazed to know that these people were also being welcomed inside of the Christian circle, inside of the Christian church. Gentiles. Who were they? And why in the world is this even important to talk about it? A lot of people would say, they're not around. I have never met a Gentile at Walmart. I don't even know what they are. So who are they? In the book of 1 Peter, we're studying not long ago, we see the struggles found with that community of people that were oppressed because they had accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. The entire book talks about the suffering Messiah and how injustice and unjustly he was condemned and crucified. And the entire book of 1 Peter, the entire letter of 1 Peter goes on and on to say that many women, that many slaves, and many other people that had accepted the gospel of Jesus, they were encouraged to be faithful to God. It talks about women that were married with unfaithful men. And Peter goes on saying, be faithful to your God, even though you are married to an unfaithful man, and now you have to witness to him and about the kingdom of God. He talks about slaves that were still slaves living in the first century that were now Christians. They were viewed by their brothers and sisters that were Christians, but by society they were still slaves. And Peter encourages them to still be faithful to their God so they could be a testimonial to their masters and maybe even save some of them. 1st century scriptures is filled with differences. There was a big difference between the ethnicity of the Jews and the ethnicity of the Gentiles. The Bible is clear to talk about the differences between a master and a slave. We can find this in one of the letters found in the book of Philemon, where Paul himself, after finding a runaway slave, he sends him back with a letter saying, receive him as a brother. Let him go free as we Christians are all free in Christ Jesus. And if it's not too much to ask, send him back to me because he's very valuable to me. First century scriptures were still dealing with problems of second class citizens like women, slaves, and Gentiles. No wonder why Paul would talk about that in the eyes of God there's no Greek nor Jew, female or male. Circumcised or uncircumcised, slave nor free. So what in the world is a Gentile? Where are they? Are they still living? Are they still a part of our society? And I think that sometimes we as Christians, the problem that we have that is that every time we read scriptures, we put ourselves siding with the good guys. And we think that scriptures were written just yesterday in North America among an Anglo-white community. And we think that we are now these people that have the word and the truth of God, and everything that we do and everything that we say, everybody has to agree. But in reality, scriptures was written a long, long time ago. And we do not even know what the Gentiles are, who they represent. We do not even know how to point them out in the society that we live in today. So we don't know what they are. We don't know who they are. We do not even know if we have slaves in the 21st century. And somebody told me one day, and this friend said, you know, let's go to East LA. I'll show you that we still have slaves in this country. Nor slave or free, male nor female, Jew nor Greek. Today we have the difficult task of talking about unity in the church. Unity in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And how can we all together continue to do the work that the Lord has asked us all to do? The Bible reminds us that we are all part of the body of Christ and that we are all important. We read some of the scriptures this morning that talks about it. The book of Romans reminds us that we need to accept one another. And nobody said amen to that one. So I'm going to read it again to you. We need to accept one another. Then just as Christ accepted you, this word is for you as it is for me. Sometimes we tend to forget where we came from and who we are and the things that we have done before we even knew Christ. And Paul here is saying that we have to accept one another because we forget that Christ Himself has accepted you. In order to bring praises to God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant. And the Greek word there is slave. Christ has become a slave of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, and I will sing the praises of your name. This is Paul himself saying that he was appointed, he was selected by God as a minister to preach the gospel to a group of people that we do not even know who they are. And here's Paul himself saying, I have realized that there's no male, there's no female, there's no Greek nor Jew. There's not even circumcision and someone that is uncircumcised. I was even asked to preach the gospel to the barbarians, to the outcast of the society. And today, unfortunately, sometimes we would not even sit across the table with some people that we know exactly what we mean by this is a Gentile. This is a man that does not know the Word of God. This is a man or a woman that does not know truth. I hope you can read that Bible text. It says, yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. What Paul is saying here is that every time you worship God among the Gentiles, you are bringing praises to God. So the question remains, who are the Gentiles of the 21st century? And I don't have an answer for you. I would like you to think about this. Because this is the Word of God, and the challenge for us is, who are those that we should be involved with? Who are those that we should be surrounded by? Who are those that could be hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ? So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. And he who gives, with liberality. And he who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. You know, there's a TV show that I really like. I'm not sure if you've seen Dr. House. And in one of these episodes, there is a line there that I really like that I would like to share with you. There's two of his doctors that are having a very intense conversation. And the young lady looks at this doctor and she asks him a question that I would like you to think about. She looks at him and she says, "Do you think people can change?" And he looks back at her and he says, "No." And then he continues and he says, "But I don't think it's going to change your opinion because people don't change." So my question to you today is it possible for people to change? Unity in the church. The book of Acts, I'm not sure if this is working. Is this working still? No? In the book of Acts, chapter 10, it has a beautiful story about unity in the church. The story starts by saying that there was a man, if you want to follow in your Bible, Acts chapter 10, there was a man called Cornelius. He was a Roman centurion. And so that you can answer that question of what does it mean to be a Gentile, the Bible clearly says that Cornelius was a Gentile. The Bible clearly says that he was not a Jew. The Bible clearly says that Cornelius was uncircumcised. And the story goes on that Cornelius, later on, he has a very important vision where he talks to an angel. On the other side of the city, there's a man called Peter. And Peter is in the balcony. The Bible says that he's hungry, Acts chapter 10. And the Bible says that in a moment, in a trance, he has a vision from God. And he says that he saw like a long piece of cloth that was coming, hanging from its four corners, filled with four-legged animals, reptiles, and many other animals, unclean animals. And the Bible says that a voice came to him and said, "Paul, kill and eat." And Peter actually said, "Lord, I have never eaten anything unclean." Remember, Peter was a Jew. Peter was abiding to the laws found in the book of Leviticus and had never eaten anything unclean. So when he saw these animals, he said, "I cannot eat such a thing." And the Bible goes on saying that for three times he had this vision of all these animals, unclean animals, and he heard the voice saying, "Kill and eat. And do not consider what God has cleansed unclean." The Bible says that Peter was very puzzled by this story. I would like you to think for a second, if you, a good Seventh-day Adventist, that abide by the practice of the church, that you're careful on what you eat and what you drink, especially unclean animals and flesh. Imagine if you were there with Peter on that balcony and you saw Peter receiving this vision and you had exact the same vision. Imagine if God would be asking you and Peter together, saying, "By the way, it's okay to kill these animals and it's okay to eat them." What is even more interesting is that Peter realized that he was having a vision from God, and Peter went to the extent of telling God no. Have you ever told God no?
God clearly tells Peter, kill and eat. And he said, no, I will not do it. Nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth, and I will not do it. And for the last time, the word comes to Peter, do not consider anything unclean that God has cleansed. And let's get this out of the way too. A lot of people in a lot of Christian churches, they use this Bible text to say we can eat whatever we want because God told Peter that he could eat. Remember, this was a vision given by God. And Peter now is puzzled about this. On the other side of the city, there's this man, Cornelius, a Roman centurion. And the Bible says that about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, he receives a vision of an angel that told him, Cornelius, all your offerings, your alms, your giving to the poor and your giving to the church has been received and accepted by God. Send a man to Joppa. Ask them to look at the house of Simon and ask them to find this man called Peter and ask him to come and visit you because he will tell you what you needed to do. Peter, on the other side of town, is still struggling with this vision. What in the world is this vision supposed to mean? The Bible says that when the soldiers arrive at the house of Simon, and when they tell Peter, you need to come with us, the Bible says that Peter is once again impressed by the Holy Spirit that said to him, do not ask any questions, just go. These men are looking for you. Now imagine now if you were there with Peter, and now you see a bunch of cops, officers, policemen, Roman centurions knocking at your door saying, you have to come with us. I don't know how you'd react to that, but I would be scared. Imagine now these men saying, you need to come with us because Cornelius, our centurion, asked you to come. Imagine their reaction when a Jew, a man of God, says, it's okay, let's go. The Bible says that when Peter arrives at the house of Cornelius, before entering his house, he says, Cornelius, you know I am a Jew, and you know it's forbidden for me to even enter inside of your house. But then something happened to Peter, and it finally clicked. Peter said, but today I have learned that I should not consider any man unclean that loves the Lord and wanted to know about him. The Bible says that Peter entered inside. And the Bible says that Peter started preaching a sermon there. And I was looking, what in the world is Peter preaching? And the Bible says very clearly, you can read in the book of Acts chapter 10, that the only thing that Peter preached on was, there was a man, Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. He was persecuted. He was crucified. He was killed, he was murdered, and he resurrected on the third day. And he appeared to more than 500 men in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says that. And then he said that anyone who calls upon this name, the name of Jesus, will receive salvation and life eternal. That was the gospel that Peter preached to Cornelius and his family. A man that clearly could not even come inside of his house because Cornelius was an uncircumcised Gentile that did not belong to the church of God. Do you think that Peter got in trouble for doing that? Have you ever gotten in trouble for doing anything that apparently you should not be doing? The Bible says that Peter said, what can we do? How can we withhold baptism from these people? And in a moment, all the family that were there and the friends that visited Cornelius that afternoon, they heard about the word of God and they were all baptized. And the Bible says in the very next verse, the very next chapter, that Cornelius enters Christianity with his family as an uncircumcised Gentile. Imagine the conversation now that these disciples are having. The Bible says that 6 men followed Peter everywhere he went, especially during the course of this story. The Bible says, how is it possible that these men are now prophesying, that these men are speaking in tongues on chapter 11? How is it possible that we can even hear these men doing and receiving the very same spirit that we have? And they're Gentiles. They're not even circumcised. And as in chapter 11 goes, the story is repeated. And here I'm going to ask you again the question, do you think that people can change? The Bible repeats the very same story, something that Luke wants you to see in the book of Acts chapter 11. It's too important not to repeat, and the very same story in Acts chapter 11 is repeated. The Bible says that when Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and there is a council of the elders of the church and the apostles of the church, they are not very happy with Peter. They had words of accusation. They said, how in the world did you go inside of the house of a Gentile? How is it possible that you're sitting at their table, eating their food? And as we know that you went there and stayed several days with them. And Peter said, let me explain to you. I had a vision. A bunch of animals that I know I'm not supposed to eat. God told me to kill and eat. I said, no, I cannot. I'm a Jew. I'm telling you here. There was a man called Cornelius that received the vision of God that asked for me to come to his house. I even told him, I cannot go inside of your house, Cornelius. But something started to change in my life. And I realized that God told me that I should not be considering unclean anyone who calls and wants to know about God. He said, let me tell you, I was telling these people about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I was telling them that He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God that came. He fulfilled hundreds of prophecies of our Old Testament scriptures, of the Hebraic scriptures. And when I was telling them about the death, the resurrection, when I was telling them that Jesus was raised from the dead, when I was telling them that He will come again, and anyone who will call upon His name will be saved, I saw the Holy Spirit of God falling on these uncircumcised Gentiles. And what was I to do? I had to baptize these men. Who was I to withhold baptism from them? So here's the answer that Peter gives in Acts chapter 11, verse 17, that says, so if God gave them the same gift He gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? And today I would like to ask you a question as a Christian that I also direct to myself all the time. Am I standing in God's way? Are you standing in God's way? Have you ever standed in God's way? Have you ever stood in God's way? Is it time for us to change? And some of you might be saying, I thought you were preaching about unity, not change. Are you here to give a sermon about women ordination? Are you here to give a sermon about the things that we need to do so we can advance to the 21st century and be a relevant church? No, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just here to ask you, do you think people can change? And my question to you is, why do you think that council changed? Look at what it says here in verse 18. When they all heard in Jerusalem this, they had no further objections. And they start praising God. Remember the text that we read in Romans and Colossians? That we should be praising among the Gentiles because when we do this, we bring praises and honor to God. And that's what God wants us to do. Look what they're doing here. When they heard this, they had no further objections. And they praised God saying, so then even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. What you mean, we, white man? What do you mean, we, Christians? What do you really mean when you say, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist? What do we mean when we say, we? There's a famous Christian comedian, Mark Lowry. He gives one of the most powerful sermons I have ever heard on Acts chapter 10. And he said that when he was reading the story of Cornelius, the story of Peter, the story of the vision, the story of all those unclean animals that God kept telling him to eat, Mark, he says in his message, he says, I realized that I was not a Jew myself. I am a Christian, he said. I think he's a Baptist. He said, I did not realize that because of that vision, now I am to be inside of the kingdom of God, because beforehand, I was just outside looking in. And he said, sometimes we Christians, we forget who we were and where we came from. We are not Jews. You are not a Jew. We are Christians. We are here because of visions like this that was given to Peter, to Gentile like us. That thank God for these visions, now we are able to be a part of the kingdom of God. And Mark ends his message by saying, sometimes we are the uninvited guests that got in, keeping other uninvited guests out. We used to be these Gentiles, apart from the Jewish people, the people that represented the kingdom of God. My biggest concern, brothers and sisters, is that as a pastor, I keep hearing that something is going to happen to our church. I keep hearing people saying that if women ordination happens in this church, I am going to leave the Seventh-day Adventist church. Some other people that would like to see women ordained, they say, if they do not accept the ordination of women, I'm going to leave too. So what are we to do? If we have women ordained, some people are going to leave. If we don't have women ordained, some other people are going to leave. And what are we going to do as people, as Christian, Seventh-day Adventists? Is it possible that one day we're going to be dividing the church? Here are the ones that accept women ordination. The ones that don't, please sit on the other side. Is that what is going on in our church? Because we have so much to think about it. We are concerned about so many things that are important, but sometimes we spend too much time in things that should not be such a big deal. Whether you agree or not with women ordination, we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And I'll never forget one day Pastor Gary was having a meeting with the elders, and our first elder, Greg Peake, he read the book of Galatians chapter 5, and he was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And he said, as we go through this turmoil, this thunderstorm, of who is right and who is wrong, we need to be remembered of the fruits of the Spirit. We need to be remembered that as Christians, we have to love one another. We have to be kind and nice to one another. So many women have been offended that wanted to be pastors in our church. We have to be very careful how we treat one another. What are we going to do about this possible division over women ordination and many other things that probably will be coming in the following years? What are we to do? How can we be united together to move forward? What are the things that are important or relevant for us Christian Seventh-day Adventists? But today, unfortunately, we have this pull. People pulling from all different directions. And the people that suffer are the people inside of our own church. So the question that we might ask is, we need to preach the gospel and what in the world the gospel is. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and likewise the book of Acts chapter 10, 34 through 46, we have a clear indication of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is and what is more important to us. He died for your sins, brothers and sisters. He died for your sins, brothers and sisters. He died for my sins. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was raised. He was crucified. And he was raised on the third day. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have to be sharing with other people, even some of the Gentiles that sometimes we do not want to associate ourselves with. The Bible says that anyone who calls upon that name, the name of Jesus, will be saved. That is the message that you find in the book of Acts chapter 11. This is what Peter preached to those people. This is what you find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He died for your sins. He was crucified. He was raised from the dead. He will return, and today he's giving you the hope of the blessed resurrection and the blessed coming of our Lord and Savior. And if anyone among us, even the Gentiles, if they call upon the name of Jesus, they will have salvation and eternal life when Christ comes. I was talking to Wyatt just a few minutes ago, and I said, brother, help me make sense of this. A lot of people are coming to me, and they say, and they're saying, we want to hear a sermon about, what do you mean, we, white people? Someone came to me, and they said, I just want to see how you're going to get in trouble over that one. And I heard something amazing coming from Wyatt. He said, Gilbert, look at this. The difference between sometimes we and other people are just 2 degrees. And because we have those tiny little differences, we start going at directions that will separate us so much. Focus, he said, on what the most important message is. Do you have questions about Sabbath? Do you have questions about 6 days creation? Do you have many questions about church doctrines and women ordination? Let me tell you what the gospel of Jesus Christ primarily is. And this should unite us. He died for your sins. He was crucified. He was persecuted. He was killed. He was murdered. He resurrected on the third day. And anyone who calls upon that blessed name, the name of Jesus, whether Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free, even the barbarians, if they call upon that name, they will have salvation and life eternal at the time of His coming. Can we be united on that? The gospel of Christ Jesus. Is it possible that we can still change? Look at this Bible text in the book of Ephesians. For it's by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. This is a gift from God. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how much you give. It doesn't matter how to the point you follow the laws of God and you do good doing that. You will never be saved by what you do. You'll be saved because of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. By grace, we are saved. And that's nothing you can do about it. That's a free gift from God. Corona Seventh-day Adventist Church, can we be united on that? Can people change? In the book of Acts chapter 11, the council, the elders, the apostles, they were not very happy with Peter going around and eating with Gentiles and going inside of their houses and eating their food. But they changed because they saw that God was working among them. Can we still be united over the things that are more important? Can we be united over the gospel of Jesus Christ? That is very simple. And we should bring it to the Gentiles so we can bring praises to our God. Brothers and sisters, I would like to close with a prayer. And I would like to ask you, what do you mean, we, white people? What do we mean, we, Christians? What do we mean, we Seventh-day Adventists? What do we mean when we tell other people who we are and how different we are? And I hope that what unites us is the gospel that Christ Jesus gave to us. So let us pray together. May the God that appointed Paul himself to preach the gospel to the Gentiles of the first century help you find unity and even praises among all those who surround you. And may we together, united, continue to give praises to God. May we continue to live by what is more important, that Christ Jesus died for my sins. May we continue to live by this faith and this unity in Christ, that Christ Jesus was crucified. And having died, he was raised from the dead. And may the God who promised that anyone who calls upon his name will be saved grant you life and eternal life. And may the God who loved even the Gentiles remind you that when you praise among them, you will bring honor and glory to God. Amen.